I will call the Plan Commission meeting together. It is 7:05. We all stand for a Pledge of Allegiance, please. First of all, who's taking the attendance? Nick, would you please take the roll call, please?
Commissioner Micklick?
Here.
Commissioner Ritter?
Here.
Commissioner Haley?
Here.
Mayor Taylor is on his way.
Yeah.
Commissioner Bennett, I believe, is excused.
Yes.
Alderman Skowronski?
Here.
Commissioner Fowler?
Here.
And Assistant City Engineer Ron Romeis?
Here.
We do have a quorum. And the mayor is taking over.
Do we have a quorum present?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Can you please rise during with me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
We did that right.
Okay. Sorry, I was meeting with union representatives and I got tied up. Thank you, Alderman. First order of business is you have the approval of minutes regular meeting of Thursday, August 18th, 2011. Is there any questions, comments, additions?
Move approval.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. I saw a lot of Green Bay Packer paraphernalia. It must be some sort of a game tonight or something. Does it start right at 7:30?
Seven?
It's
pre-game. Oh, I think they're holding it for us, though.
Public hearings, business items. David L. Sweeney, Mr. Deedle?
We have a CSM on the agenda. This is an existing parcel with an existing house. If the parcel fronts on both St. Martin's Road and Elm Leaf Lane, the existing house is on the part that fronts on St. Martin's Road. They're wishing to split the lot into two so that they create a new lot that would be fronting on Elm Leaf Lane. We are recommending approval with a number of conditions. There are some suggestions. And it's our understanding there may be some neighbors have some issues or questions. Starting with the conditions, we are noting that this property does not currently have enough frontage on Elm Leaf Road to meet the UDO requirement of 60 feet on a public road. However, the owner is in the process of acquiring a strip of land 10 feet wide from an adjacent property owner, and I believe that is in the works. And when that gets recorded, then they would have enough frontage on this road. So that is one of the conditions to make sure that they go through with that. And it is my understanding that they are working on it and pretty close to wrapping that up. We also have a condition in regards to corrections to the conservation easement. The delineation on the CSM doesn't show all the natural resource features, so that would have to be corrected. And of course, as usual, the conservation easement itself would have to be approved by the Common Council. Those are conditions, as well as a number of minor technical corrections to the CSM itself, correct tax key numbers, delineation of all the proper setbacks and buffers, the topographic contours, those kinds of things. So those are the conditions that staff is recommending approval with. There is one condition, number 7, in regards to the Natural Resource Protection Plan. They have recently completed a Natural Resource Protection Plan. Just submitted to it to us within the last few days. At this point in time, it looks okay, but we're still reviewing it. So that condition may be addressed, but we want to verify that for sure. And then there are two suggestions that I would like to point out. Again, with suggestions, those are not in the resolution, so if the Plan Commission agrees with those conditions or with those suggestions, the motion would have to include putting those into the resolution. One of which is that this lot does contain a lot of natural resources. And there have been previous discussions, Woodlands of Franklin, for instance, subdivision, where there have been problems with lots that have natural resources on them that aren't entirely located within separate outlots. This lot is a unique shape to begin with, and the match resources just makes it more unique to deal with. And future owners may run into problems that as we've seen in other subdivisions with not remembering where these features are and intruding into them. So as we have suggested before, we'd be suggesting again that some extra measures be taken, such as including signage or fencing on the lot to show where these natural resource features are, so future owners would have something that would hopefully remind them that there's a feature worth protecting out there. So that's one of the conditions, or one of the suggestions. The other one is the adjacent property that they're acquiring the 10 feet from has a secondary environmental corridor on it. That corridor does include all of the floodplain, which does come onto this property as well. With the recent approval of the sewer service area plan for Franklin, that included the southwest part of the city is now required to protect secondary environmental corridors and isolated natural resource areas. However, that is normally done by sewer pack at the end of the process. When the property owner asks for a sanitary sewer connection, sewer pack will check to see if they're protecting the primary, secondary, and isolated. Because that's so late in the process, we are suggesting that the applicant map that natural resource feature, the secondary environmental corridor, on the CSM as well. But because it's not required by the UDO, it's only a suggestion. So those are our suggestions. And then as I mentioned before, I believe that there are some neighbor concerns as well, possibly to do with the smallness of the lot, potential impact on the floodplain, and some trees that were cut down. Based on the Natural Resource Protection Plan, it appears that those trees are not a natural resource feature. It appears that they are too far apart from one another to be a grove. So that's in summary, I guess we are recommending approval with the conditions that I noted and then those two suggestions.
Okay. For the record, I did receive in my office a packet from... It's 1, 2, 3 pages from Dr. and Mrs. Kelly Smith, 9598 West Prairie Grass Way. I don't know if others have that. If you have those letters in front of you or not.
Yeah, we don't either.
You don't have them?
No, we have no letter.
Okay. Well, I'll give them to staff to be shared. Is there possible that one of you could make copies, or is the copy machine up and running right now?
Yeah, we could.
And it doesn't have to be read at the moment. But that's one letter basically raising a number of objections and concerns. I think in this one it says, in summary, we request that the Planning Commission table making a decision on this matter until the aforementioned issues can be thoroughly reviewed. Legalities of these issues are determined and the resulting decisions are properly communicated to all appropriate parties. In essence, I think what it talks about is the land may have potential drainage issues or may create drainage issues for the neighbors. That's one letter. The other letter is, well, actually, I have Dr. Kelly on this one as well. Colleen Smith, Brad Sterling, Angela Sterling, William Edstrom Jr., Marie Edstrom, Doug Milonovich, Carrie Milonovich, and Mary McNello. Roger, I can't read the last name, Roger Torgrund. Maybe it is Roger Torgrund. So I have Dr. Mark Gramblica, Melissa Gramblica, Tony Thrasher, and Amy Thrasher, all from Prairie Grass Way. So you do not have these?
No, we received the phone call. But I don't
okay.
think we have a letter.
So for the record, I'll give it to the plan commissioners for their review and recommendations. I did get the packet, I think, only this morning on the issue. So that's pretty much it. So if you want to make copies of this. With that, I'll turn it over to the commissioners. You've heard from the planning staff. Any questions, comments, Alderman Skransky.
Mr. Deedle, does the division of the lot meet the zoning code of the City of Franklin?
If they acquired that 10-foot strip, yes, they would.
Is there any other conditions that would preclude the division of that property?
Serious concerns, no. There's minor technical corrections, so things like having the proper tax key numbers on the CSM, and identifying the proper setbacks and buffers. Those are all required by the UDO, but we don't think they're major.
Okay. And the certified survey map is proper and duly presented to you for your inspection to make sure it's all correct?
Yes. We are still, like I noted before, we are still double-checking that NRPP to make sure that's correct, but it appears at its first review that it is correct. But that information now needs to be put on the CSM. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that the division of this lot would be a hindrance to the community?
No. I mean, I can understand some of the concerns. This has been one large lot for a very long time, and the neighbors probably got used to that and familiar with it. I did do some research real quick. The old comprehensive master plan did envision this lot being split in two. So there were some recognition, acknowledgement way back when, in 1992, that this lot would be split. It is going to be small, but it is about the same size as some of the lots within the Prairie Grass Preserve subdivision.
And so it would be somewhat consistent with the neighborhood surrounding it?
Correct. Smaller than the lots to the north, about the same size as the lots to the south.
Thank you.
Mr. Fowler?
Mr. Deedle, have there been stormwater issues in this neighborhood in the past?
Not that I'm aware of, although the city, assistant city engineer thinks of any.
Not that I'm aware of either.
Having visited this lot and looked at it, my concern is that we might be creating stormwater issues in a place where we don't have them. This house, and I would like the opinion of the city engineer and the planner on that, because it's very close to the floodplain. There are several wetlands in the area. I would think we would want to recommend that this house not have a basement. I would assume that a basement would be a jeopardy to the household owner. I would assume it would fill with water on a regular basis because of its location. Again, I will defer to the engineer on his wisdom on that as well, but it would be my concern that we would have a list of complaints from this homeowner at some point if you put a basement in an area where there are so many wetlands so close to the floodplain that it could create an issue for the homeowner, and it might be a recommendation that we not allow a basement in that structure. I throw that out for
Mr. Roma
consideration.
Yes, sir. And that is a concern, and I went to FEMA. They regulate the floodplain and the relationship to structures and that. And there is discussion about being elevated above out of the 100-year potential, you know, the level of water that reaches, you know, 100-year level. And I think that'll be critical. You know, that will be necessary, very necessary, to seriously look at the building grade as it relates to the, you know, it's called a platus survey, looking at drainage patterns and making that work. It will be critical, and I share that concern.
Okay, Ms. Fowler.
If I can follow up, the 100-year floodplain, Mr. Deedle, is this the updated sewer pack floodplain of the most recent vintage, or are they still in the process of updating this? I don't believe this is from a riverine system. This is more of a ponded system where, like, a wetland is that?
There's a stream.
Go ahead, Ron.
Only that this is the upwaters of Legends Creek.
Okay.
You know, and so it's part of that. That water course, and that was modeled by SewerPAC about 10 years ago, done specifically for the city. And so, you know, locations are reasonably close. Modeling always can find this, but
yeah. If I could follow up, mm-hmm. Mayor, my concern is recent maps, even with the last 10 years, have seen an increase in flood elevation to about 10 to 13%, even with models done as recently as 2002 and 2004. With the changing weather patterns that we've seen in Milwaukee with these severe storms we've had in 2008, 2010, 2011. Again, I'd be concerned that we allow for a structure, and then if we allow for a basement to go into this area, and then we see the floodplain suddenly increase substantially, we might have someone buy a property with the understanding they're not in the regulated floodplain, they're not at a high risk, they may have some risk, but then the map changes and suddenly we have a structure that is now in a high-risk area, and they would, I would assume they would come to the city for some help, and I would not want to put the city in that position.
Sir Ritter?
Just following up on your phrase, making it work. My concern there, does making it work mean making the water go someplace else?
No.
No.
I mean, we won't have control over that. You know, the floodplain is established, you know, by different conveying pipes and such. We're not, I mean, there, in a case like this, we would all be in the floodplain.
No, but in terms of, okay, this is going to, you know, create some impervious surface, will this cause change, you know, water affect essentially surrounding properties, or will whatever happens to be isolated to this property?
Well, it's you know, my belief that this structure is on a downgrade to the floodplain. I mean, it is. It could have the potential of impeding or blocking flow, and that's why, you know, the grading on this site would be critical to make sure that doesn't occur. You know, from any side yard swales or anything like that. This, you know, we can't elevate and cause grade to block. But other than that, it has potential to drain quite well. Yeah. It should work. It better work. We'll make sure it does.
Mr. Haley?
I guess I would just follow up because I'm in agreement with what I'm hearing, but there's also the practical perspective on all this, and the proposed dwelling is shown as within 3 feet of the 100-year flood. I will remind people that we've had multiple 100-year floods in the last several years. It's a common occurrence. The practicality of actually building that residence that close to the floodplain without having impacts, without future fills, porch requests coming in, you know, we've dealt with all of that stuff. This is, it seems very doable, but I've got to express caution, concern, because we've been through this and we've seen what happens when we allow structures. I mean, 3 feet to the 100-year floodplain, very close. It is literally almost impossible to build that house without machinery impacting the floodplain. Ultimately, there's going to be desires for fills to drain water away from the house. So I have some concerns about that. I guess I would express that concern to the potential property owners as well. And to that end, I tend to agree very strongly with staff's suggestions about delineating the natural resources that are on there in some more permanent way. And I would also recommend that it probably makes sense to show the floodplain out there prior to construction. It's a very important aspect, because I don't think any of us want to be here a year from now dealing with flooding problems and issues created for adjacent neighbors. So I would be very supportive of incorporating staff's suggestions into the resolution as well.
Mr. Romans?
Yeah, just that there is a footprint of a structure, you know, kind of somewhat squeezed into, it, you know, its perimeter. I'm suggesting possibly this isn't the ultimate, I mean, the final footprint. I mean, there may have to be some alterations to better site it. You know, so that's understood.
Mr. Fowler?
Well, if what I'm seeing here correctly, and if this is something we want to, I can't support it in the current location. Is there a possibility of moving the building setbacks to get this home away from the floodplain, still allow for the development on the lot? Is that a potential? I think we've done that before on other properties. Could we not move this building setback and allow for that to occur, or is that something that can't happen?
Mr. Deal?
Setbacks from the floodplain only, or?
Realign the building structure, we might have to modify our building setback line so we can move it away from the floodplain, move it away from some of the natural resources that we're trying to do.
Front yard.
Yes, there is a section in the UDO that allows Planning Commission and Common Council to modify projects based on general environmental impacts, unique situations. The example that it gives is bedrock close to the surface is one of the examples it gives. So I believe, yes, the Planning Commission, not so much changing the official setback, but saying, due to these reasons, we believe a setback from a floodplain or some feature is appropriate and reasonable.
Ms. Fowler?
Well,
Well, I'm trying to protect the city's interest, I think, here, because I do believe if we allow the property to be built where it is, we're going to have water problems and issues with flooding on this structure. And the farther we can get away from that, it protects the city's interest. That's my concern, maybe not the environmental concern, which I think are important as well. But I'm thinking to protect the city's interest here. I don't know if that's a viable option to move that setback. I would think it would be, but I would be in support of that.
Okay, Alderman Skransky.
Yeah, Ron, what height would the grade of the first floor have to be brought to from where its present grade is now to be out of the floodplain?
Well, the floodplain, as indicated on the map, is at 786.7, and with some, I'd call it freeboard or some, it suggested that any structure be at least 2 feet above that. I mean, mm-hmm. It's like basement floor.
Yeah, right.
So if you do that and you add 8-something to the first, to achieve the first floor, you're at least 10 feet above, floodplain elevation or a 796.7.
And those grades would be verified by you before anything would be done?
Well, yeah, and the survey, the surveyors would, and very, the safest way to go is if there are some design constraints to this building, something that absolutely needs to be, happen with this building as far as the size of it, how it sits on the site, that should probably be done before, a shovel is brought into the site and verify exactly how this is going to fit.
Right.
Also, more than most.
What's on the survey now, is that what the proposed building is and the envelope of the building structure?
All I see is a contour, a 788 contour, wrapping around part of the building there. And that doesn't tell me enough, but...
Okay, but that actually portrayed that's on there is not what the building is going to be. Am I correct or not?
I'm not sure.
Joe?
I know they did hire somebody to look into making sure a building could fit. I don't know if this is the final result of that, but I do know that they hired somebody to look into could they build a building that would fit. I suspect it is related to that.
And so, that, what's on there, would be allowed?
Yes, unless the Plan Commission determines otherwise. Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Romeis?
Yes. It fits two-dimensionally, but we're suggesting we got to really look at how it lays in with the floodplain, how the grades will work as it relates to the floodplain, as it relates to the roadway, and that will take some additional work.
Stila, what's the... You have staffs recommending approval with all these conditions, listening to the statements of the commissioners, and you should have the letters in front of you now. What's your recommendation?
I would be comfortable tabling it. These are some valid concerns. It's possible that they can be addressed in this CSM but still be approved, but I think they are valid concerns, so I would be comfortable tabling it.
Is there a jeopardy that the property owner could lose rights to building, or is there any rationale for having this move quicker? Or?
The applicant has wanted to go as fast as possible. I'm not sure why, but the applicant has been calling us on a regular basis to push this along.
Does the applicant know that the Plan Commission is a recommending body to the full council, and that if the council may not be comfortable with it, they may reject the proposal?
Yes.
He does know that?
Yes.
All right. I guess I would ask for what's the pleasure of the commission?
I would move to table this matter until further information can be provided.
Is there a second?
Second.
The move seconded. Mr. Ritter?
Only that I think we ought to establish specifically what the commission wants, and that was a good deal that probably can be inferred from the discussion here this evening. I also would like to, as the city attorney looked at this, I'm a little bit concerned if we should find some basis for not doing this. Could that be, would there any be basis for saying the city is unreasonably withholding the opportunity to divide land or build on it or something like that? So there are a variety of concerns related to this that I would hope would be addressed before this would come back.
And Mr. Fowler, is that tabled to a date certain to the next planning commission?
Yes.
Okay. All right. A motion on the floor has been seconded. Mr. Beadle?
The city attorney did tell us that if we decided to deny it, sort of for the planning commission and definitely for the common council, we would have to be explicit in our reasons why we're denying it. Tabling it, we do have deadlines, 60 days. Planning commission has to give a recommendation from the date of submittal, and that would be October 18th. So we do have time.
Well, I do think I hadn't really received I don't know, any opposition or people in support of this until I received this packet this morning, but there's quite a bit in there. The plan commissioners haven't had the ability of digesting all the information. I think just given some of the discussion that Mr. Fowler has raised, some of the maybe potential questions that Mr. Romeis may still have, that looks like maybe the most prudent thing, not only for the city, but for the land owner, is to have many of these questions answered. I did see in some of the material that was given to me today that some of these issues have to do with property values, whether that's true or not true. Water problems was a prevailing theme within both documents. I don't know, serenity to the area. I know when I built my home, it was one of the first homes in the subdivision, and that all around me there was open fields. But I never really expected that those fields were going to remain that way forever. And we've had many, many issues like this in the past. So, Mr. Rubin?
I would only like to request further that when this does come back, that the city attorney have reviewed it and determined if there is grounds for denial, and if so, have those documented in such a way that they would be available to the commission at that time.
I'm going to accept that out to my motion.
Okay. And who was the second?
I did.
And you accept that as well?
Yeah.
All right. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, 6 ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Now turn to item 3B. And just want to, does the game actually start at 7:30 or 8 o'clock?
Kickoff is there already.
I see that there's probably some interest in hearing about this. Pan Dolan, landscape plan for enlargement, enhancement of existing earthen berm located adjacent to South 51st Street between West Rawson Avenue and West Drexel Avenue. While it's not part and parcel, part of the landscaping plan, there was a neighborhood meeting that was held. Mr. Deal, you have shared some of the answers to questions that were raised at the neighborhood meeting, and do you want to go through them real quick?
We are still working on the answers to the questions. We have available the tape of the meeting, and we have available a list of questions. I believe there's like 56 questions, mm-hmm. So we're still in the process of answering those. So when that information becomes, when we complete those answers, then we will provide it to all those people who gave their contact information to us at that neighborhood meeting. A few of those questions do overlap this issue, but many of those questions pertain to broader issues dealing with the quarry itself. So I'll point out where we talk about something specific to this berm or to this landscape plan. I'll mention in those instances where it overlaps with the questions they asked. But we are still, so again, the bottom line, tape is available in the meeting, the list of questions are available, but we're still working on the answers.
Well, let me try three major ones. Okay. Did you have sewer pack go out there and check to see if there's issues with wetlands? And what was the answer?
They found only one wetland on phase 4, the far west end. We were aware of that wetland. It is bigger than we thought it was. It intrudes into the project area, but it's approximately 150 feet southwest of where the berm is going to go. So it's in their project area, but it's going to be outside the berm.
Okay. Two, is this or is this not an expansion of the quarry and the mining operations of the quarry?
It is not an expansion of anything except the berm itself. Another common question they're saying, or the question is, the berm is moving. or a statement that the berm is moving. The berm is not moving. There will be one berm. There is one berm now. There will be one berm when they're done. They're making that berm bigger.
Okay. In your findings or your research, did you find anything in the record that indicates that there's a, that either there was a promise made by former councils, former mayors, former administrators that limited the mining of the quarry to 10 years or less?
I have not found anything. I have looked through all the documentation that we have available. I have looked at all the minutes that are available. I did not listen to all the tapes, but I did look at every written document that I could get my hands on, and I can't find anything that said that.
Okay. Has anyone furnished you any information?
No.
Last question is, there was a great deal of concern. Actually, there's two questions. Great deal of concern about whether berming actually is an insulator, if it serves as an insulating factor and reduces decibel level or vibrations. Do you have any new findings on that?
One thing that was surprising, I mean, there is value to doing all this research. There was a specific study done when this PDD was created by a consulting firm on the impact of putting a berm adjacent to this specific quarry. And that study did indicate that it would reduce the decibel levels by, depending the location of the house and the location of the berm, from no impact at all up to 12 decibels. And the reason there would be some instances of no impact is because the berm ends. So where the berm does not exist and houses would be south, it's actually the berm along Drexel, where the berm ends by the stormwater pond, there would be houses south and southwest of that location. The berm wouldn't do anything for them because there was no berm there. But everywhere else there was a berm, it was at least more than zero and less than 12 decibels. And that's similar to the studies that we were able to find that were done in other locations, Canada and the United States.
Okay. And do you have those studies available? Or what?
Yes. There was a lot of overlap between those studies. So there's hundreds or thousands of different hits that you can find on the internet for these studies, but most of them are overlapping one another. They're referring back to an earlier study. It appears to me there's about 12 or 13 studies or documents, and then other agencies are referring back to those. And of those 12 or 13, the reason it's questioned is some of them are scientific studies done by scientists. Some of them are documents or reports undertaken by government agencies. So then I couldn't tell, was it a scientist? Was there original research behind it? But it was actual new documentation, new information from government agencies, 12 or 13 of those. And of all of those, about five of them documented the exact decibel level impact. Again, most of them ranged from 5 to 15 decibel level reduction in noise because of a berm. About eight of those studies didn't give specific decibel levels, just made generic statements that, yes, the noise would be reduced based on factors like how close is the berm to the quarry, how big is the berm, and how close are the houses. And then there was one study that did raise some concerns about what value, how much of a reduction would there be. They were pointing out things like it depends what the berm was constructed of, would some of the sound be absorbed, as most studies were assuming, or would it all be bounced back? Atmospheric conditions where it could bounce off cloud cover and go back down. So one study brought those concerns up. But out of those 12 or 13, the rest of them said, yes, there was definite reductions in noise because of berms.
Some people at the prior meetings and probably at the neighborhood meetings brought up or showed maps where on these maps, according to them, and I think it was very genuine on their part, that it may have showed wetland features. How do you, I know that you told me that the staff has gone out there and walked the property and now sewer pack has gone out, but why is there a discrepancy between the maps, which I believe are genuinely brought in here and genuine concern over it, versus the findings?
I believe those maps are soils maps, not wetland maps, because I found a map on the DNR website that looks very much like what I believe they were showing me. And it's a soils map that shows the soils that are poorly drained, very poorly drained, and somewhat poorly drained. Yeah. And there are soil inclusions with somewhat poorly drained on them. if you wanted to do a rough hierarchy, wetland would be the most definitive answer. There's a wetland map that shows a wetland that's the most definitive. Then there would be a map that shows hydric soils. There are no hydric soils mapped on this property. Next would be those soils that are very poorly drained, and there are no mapped very poorly drained. Then there's poorly drained and somewhat poorly drained, and there are some somewhat poorly drained soils. I believe that's the map they were looking
at. Okay. There's, as you said, there was like 57 questions that were raised. But one of the things that, and we've talked about this, is the particle testing for dust and also for the trucks that are supposed to go through the showers, through the washing things that both Vulcan and Payne and Dolan have. And then they're also supposed to have a cover on the back of the truck. I believe that's by state law. Do you have any findings as of yet on whether the particulate matter, the acceptable levels have been violated or not violated?
No. The monitoring that was initiated with the PDD and continues today is for the blasting. That's both the volume of the blast and the ground vibrations of the blast. Those are still being monitored inside the quarry by the quarries. And then it's always subject to unannounced visits by the DNR, but no regular monitoring by the DNR. We get all that information on a regular basis, and we review that information on a regular basis. One time only, a couple years ago, there were a couple problems. Mm-hmm. But other than that, since the creation of the PDD and the beginning of this monitoring, the first couple years, there was monitoring by the city outside the quarry, and since then, from inside the quarry, by the quarry. Other than that, one time, a couple times in 1 year, we haven't had any reported violations of those sound levels. And one other thing I would want to note is at that point, a couple years ago, it was monitored by the quarry, inside the quarry, that volume of noise did exceed the PDD limits. But remember, the actual enforcement level is as measured at the houses. So there will be a reduction in the noise between inside the quarry to the house. So there is a possibility that even though it exceeded, and it was only exceeded by a little bit, but with sound, even a little bit of a difference is actually a large difference in sound. There might be enough of a reduction between inside the quarry to where the nearest houses are that it might not have been a reduction.
Okay. Well, again, I know that this isn't necessarily part of the landscaping plan or normal questions, but we did promise to get back to the people with answers on this. I'm glad to see that you're still continuing to investigate. I think the biggest one, I think it's a very legitimate issue, is whether or not the berms function as insulating factors. Do they actually reduce the decibel readings? And then during the course of the conversations we've had, one time we had aquifer chemical that was monitoring the quarries, and for one reason or another, that was not continued. I think you and I have talked that might be a very good thing to reinstitute and to put back in place.
Yes.
And so we're at a budget hearing, or we will have budget discussions coming up. But is there a motion to suspend the regular order of business to allow Penny Woodcock?
Right? So moved.
Do I have the name right? Penny Woodcock?
No.
No, I don't.
Panoski,
okay. Is there a second?
Second.
So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries.
I guess there are so many things that I feel everybody here is absolutely passing over. I mean, I live in the subdivision across from the quarries, and you're talking about sound decibels. You know what? The berms don't do squat. It's the blast produced, the seismic readings that are coming underneath.
The readings that are coming underneath, that's what shakes my house. My basement shakes. The dishes shake. The pictures on the wall shake. The fireplace shakes. the floors shake. Everything in my house. I've had my walls fixed, the basement fixed. I mean, and the aesthetic value, if you make these berms come any closer, I mean, they're ugly already. If you make them come any closer, it's going to be so detrimental to the housing prices that of the people that surround the quarry, it's going to be terrible. I mean, there's not one good thing about this. And there can't be any reason for doing it. There's a berm there already. Why would you want to do something that is not only aesthetically terrible? I mean, I took pictures all the way around the quarries. You guys can see them if you want. To have a berm coming right up to the road. You know, go look at the other quarries that Payne and Dolan have. I mean, out in Pewaukee, I think that's the one. I mean, they've come right up to the road. Racine, they've come right up to the road. It's uglier than all get out. And after a while, they just forget the berms. You know, they just railroad right up to the road. I mean, if you drive past some of these places, it's scary. And do you think anybody can possibly sell property around there? I don't think so. And, I mean, I bought my house as an investment. I didn't buy it so I could never sell it because someone wants to make millions, you know, without total regard for anyone else. And I mean, Payne and Dolan, I mean, they're making the taxes coming into the city just aren't that great. Our subdivision pays far more. And then you add to it all the properties around the quarries. They far outweigh what the quarries are paying. And blast-produced vibration. You know, and then you can say people don't call in and the complaints. Who do you talk to? What? They tell you to call the quarries. Do you think the quarries care? Seriously. If I had someone robbing my house, should I call the robbers? Oh, hey, I've got a complaint. You're robbing my house. Really? I mean, that is ludicrous. There used to be a process in place where things actually were recorded and something mattered. Has everything gotten that corrupt that nobody cares? Have it? I mean, has it? Would you want someone doing this to you? I can show you all pictures of what the surrounds around the quarry look like right now. And if you see the berm that they advanced without anybody's knowledge, all of a sudden, on Drexel, they advanced the berm. It looks like heck. It certainly didn't improve my property value. And my house still shakes. It vibrates. I've got a picture of my grandmother that I centered in a frame. And the blasting, it has shaken the frame so many times. It has shaken that the picture has just gradually gone down. It's just ridiculous. How many times do I have to fix my basement? Do I have any hope of selling my house? And you're talking about doing searches on the internet and coming up with all these decreases? And this is being done on residential property. This property is zoned residential. That's a business. They don't have any business on residential property. That property is not zoned commercial. And the last time I looked, they were making money and they were a commercial business. Am I correct in that assumption?
Mr. Deal, I think that you told me that, in fact, it was zoned residential.
Yes, part of that property outside the PDD is zoned residential. Part of that property outside the PDD is zoned commercial. It's all owned by Payne and Dolan. And same as anywhere in the city, you can build berms on residential and business property.
Not that size, you can't.
If the city's requirements do not specify size limits, we only look at impacts like stormwater runoff. If they can address stormwater
yes,
runoff,
but this is
size.
This is part of a business. This is not someone building a little berm for aesthetic purposes. This far exceeds that. You want to see the pictures, Hunter?
We have pictures as well.
We'll take the pictures and ask that they be distributed to the plant commissioners.
I want them back.
They'll even make copies. How about if you give it to them tomorrow? The
I work tomorrow.
Okay. The issue that we have on the table, just so, as I said from the get-go, while I don't think it's necessarily related to the landscaping plan, I did want the neighbors to get answers back to many of their questions that they raised. And I also am looking at Marge because I'm signaling to her that I'm looking at looking back at the aquifer chemical or the contract or another contract for monitoring the quarry. And the way we do those things is through the budget process. But the site plan for the berm, Mr. Deedle, I believe was approved 2 meetings ago by the Planning Commission?
Almost 2 months ago.
2 months ago, okay. So what we really have in front of us tonight is a resolution on landscaping that berm.
You have had no public input. The people that it actually fiscally and financially affects. I mean, they're prospering from all this. We're getting the shaft. And you don't care about anybody who lives around the quarry.
Well, actually, I do. I live near the quarry. So
uh-uh. Not like we do.
No, we're not here to argue. We have an issue on the agenda. I'm asking, there are other people who would like to speak on the issue. I don't know if Alderman Wilhelm wants to speak on it, but I see another hand that's up. And we are suspending the regular order of business to allow public input on this. There's a lady right behind you. And if you could, please state your name and address for the record.
Okay, my name is Donna Del Angel. I live at 7968 South 50.
I don't, because, come up out here, you're under the microphone. Oh, it's that one.
I just want to know why was that berm moved? Why did they move it over? Didn't we have one there before that was okay? Why did they move that berm over?
I guess another way of putting that, what was the request? First of all, it was not the request of anyone sitting up here that a berm be built or anyone in the city. It was the request came from Payne and Dolan, right? And what was their request? Well, that's what we're going to ask.
Well, a little bit of history, if I could. The original berm was requested by the city. It is mandatory that the quarries build a berm around the quarries. Way back in 1997, they were required. Vulcan had most of their berm in place already. Payne and Dolan had only a small little berm on 51st Street. And the PDD requires, it's law, requires them to build a berm. The PDD requires that that berm be approved by the Planning Commission. Then Payne and Dolan, that's all in the PDD. And the PDD is the Plan Development District that sets forth the regulations for the quarry. After that time, Payne and Dolan changed the berm 4 more times, and each time went to the Planning Commission to get approval for it. As the PDD says, as a site plan amendment, site plans by city regulation do not require public hearing or public notice. So at none of those times was there a public hearing. And so this time, just like the previous 4 times, there was no public hearing.
Okay, so there was no public hearing. So in other words, we could wake up tomorrow and you could be across Drexel without us knowing.
If they were doing something that's significant, well, first of all, it's going to be a Plan Commission meeting, and the Plan Commission meetings are always posted on the city internet, or city website on the internet. The second thing is if they were doing something that's significant, like we've already done, we're letting the neighbors know if we find out something. When we found out that...
We never knew about it.
The ones that have been contacting us, there's been a handful of people that are continually contacting us on almost a daily basis. We tell them when the tape of the meeting was available. We tell them when the list of questions is available. When they ask for a map, we tell them when the map is available. And if the quarry would want to expand across the roads or change something major, we would let those people know that too. We have been doing it for a couple months now.
Okay, so then according to you, you would let them do it.
So no, according to me, we're going above and beyond what the PDD requires. We're letting that core group of neighbors who keep calling us, we let them know everything we know as soon as we know it. As soon as we're done with something, we give it to them. And we've been doing that for a while now, and we'll continue to do that. And that's not required. That's us trying to go above and beyond to be helpful.
Right.
And we'll continue to do that.
Of the big industry, of the business. Okay. Wasn't there something about 51st Street in the planning for them to enlarge the road, to make it large, to widen it, and to beautify the area around there?
The quarry?
No, on 51st Street. Wasn't there something about...
widening the road?
Right, and making it more...
I seem to remember something about
right.
That.
Right. And they
actually, it was very controversial, and there was a great deal of information about the widening of the road and whether people wanted it or not. Again, the issue that we have in front of us is actually the landscaping of the berm.
But if there was a plan for that to have it widened, where the berm is now, there's no way that anything can be done there. And also,
I mean, I can already tell you, as the mayor, I've said this publicly, I'll say it again, that I would veto any plans to widen that road to more than what the people want. And I did. I have. So what engineering, which is our professionals, might be proposing, which is their job to propose professional plans for a double width curb and gutter, stormwater management, sidewalks on both sides. That is nothing that has ever been approved by the Common Council. And that type of proposal I would veto.
Okay, if that berm was okay, why do they make it, why did they move it over to more towards the road?
Alderman Wilhelm, and then I think we're going to get back to the regular order of business.
I think seems to be missing here is the understanding that the reason why they're putting all that dirt there is because probably underneath, I would say, 40 feet of dirt is where the rock is lying. And so they need to move the dirt to quarry out to their maximum limits, which were pre-approved, and they don't want to have to pay to truck the dirt off-site. So this isn't any big favor they're doing for these people to put this dirt here. It's cheaper. That's pretty much the bottom line to it. They want to get at the rock. They don't want to truck it off. And, you know, the city could have made them truck it off, put it somewhere else. You wouldn't be looking at a big berm. You wouldn't be dealing with at least that portion of this. But that's not the action the city decided to take.
Okay.
So I guess I'm going to agree a little bit with the notification issue, because I was out of town and I got the notice and I was making copies on myself and walking around the neighborhood at 10 o'clock at night to let the people know that there was a meeting. And that was the first they had heard about it. So it's disturbing to me as the district alderman, who the people are affected by that. Also Doug Schmidt, who's affected by that. His people weren't notified, and several of these people are in the 5th district. So that would have been something I would have wanted. Also, I had talked at the last meeting about concessions for some of these people, and you have the ability by the ordinance to make requests. You pass things with conditions and contingencies all the time. I haven't heard anyone talk about the concessions that I asked for consideration at the last meeting that was on this issue. I talked about the possibility of at least shoveling the sidewalk that you're going to put in front of their homes. I've talked about making sure we have a path. Now, there's language in the write-up from the staff that says staff leases room and they've agreed to work, but unless you have that in writing, that doesn't mean anything. A verbal agreement, something on paper, you really don't have anything. And I stepped outside to try to get the ODO, because I wanted to point out the Plan Commission, and it's probably behind you, Mayor, but on the first couple pages of that document, talks about the intent of the ordinance. Intent of the Unified Development Ordinance of the City. Protect the safety and welfare of the people. And there's also a section where it talks about blocking light, air quality, air circulation. Those are all things that you need to take into consideration when you're planning things, just as like you did with the flooding issues and the water issues. And I appreciate the fact that you've looked into the wetland issues. That was, you know, it seems like you did the due diligence on that. But what about the people in here and in their basements? And there's pretty much a guarantee that moving out to their limits, those vibrations are going to travel harder and faster through that rock material, and those homes are going to have some more damage to them. It seems to me like you're making this all about the landscape plan. Landscape plans can still have contingencies as well. And I would hope that you will consider some kind of concessions. I don't understand why the city has to budget for air quality for the quarry. Why don't they pay for that? They're the ones spewing the stuff into the air. And why do we have to try to get it in our budget? That would be the biggest concession I think you could probably ask. That this approval is contingent upon them putting at least some money forth to this community to monitor the air with the consultant that we had in place, so you don't have this fox guarding the hen house thing.
Well, two things, Alderman. One is asked Mr. Liberta this morning, as Director of Administration, to include something in my recommended budget write-up as the mayor, to request that the Finance Committee study the issue of looking back at aquifer chemical, and also the issue of there are X amount of dollars that can be appropriated or can be garnered from the quarries for that operation, which is what happened in the past. So it'll be coming in my write-up, and I'll be sending it to you as a member of the Finance Committee. Second thing is, I thought that one of the things that you said was, well, they might be moving the dirt so they don't have to truck it out, but they're taking it right up to their limits. And limits meaning they're not exceeding the limits under the Unified Development Ordinance. Do you agree that?
I don't know that. I don't have the PDD exact boundaries, but it's my understanding from just listening to staff that they had a pre-approved line, and the actual mining is going to go up to that maximum line. But I think where a point that sort of should be taken into consideration is the point that they're seeing this as part of the quarry operations because the dirt is coming off of the quarry and being dumped on residential property. And to me, that's valid. I mean, that very well seems like an expansion. However, if you trucked it off site, and put it somewhere else, would that site then become a quarry expansion? So it's,
you know, you're probably one of the few people in the city that really understands unified development ordinance, and as actually I think you've said you've read it several times. I know that I'm one of those people that have read it as well, especially on the quarries PDD. But there's an issue that, first of all, let me just say this. We will not allow any violations of the PDD. Mr. Deedle knows that. I've reminded him constantly. He is, as a public employee, he is prohibited from allowing any violations of that ordinance. And the moment that he sees it, he needs to bring it to the proper attention of the appropriate parties, and or call the police or whatever, enforce the law. And has there been any violation of the ordinance?
Other than that one time possible violation, today I want to make that note that there was a possible violation of the noise, of the blasting, a couple times in 1 year.
When was that?
2008, I believe.
There has been air quality monitor violations in the past, because I looked at all the DNR documents on that when I was concerned about the Pleasant
Right.
School and brought that up last time.
I guess my question was more related to the berming. Is this a violation of the ordinance?
No.
I mean, you are the person that is charged by the ordinance to make sure that that ordinance is followed and obeyed.
I believe there is no violation, and this is also consistent with the actions the Planning Commission has taken four other times.
I guess one more comment, then I'm going to sit down. You don't have to have a violation in order to make some concessions for the residents. You can put in some contingencies to give them something. And I would ask that you at least discuss that amongst yourselves and what you think might be appropriate to help these people out.
Okay. I would recommend, Mr. Deedle, that contact the city attorney regarding the items that Alderman Wilhelm is bringing up, especially as it relates to concessions. To see if that is something that is or is not permitted. I'm not a municipal attorney, and quite frankly, I don't know. I do know that when it comes to zoning issues cannot be conditioned. This is not a zoning issue, so let's ask the city attorney. The only reason he's not here tonight is he asked to be at, I guess there's a football game going on. With that, is there a motion to return to regular
so
business?
Moved.
Is there a second? Moved and second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Mr. Deedle, you will be getting back to all of the residents with your findings.
Yes, anybody who gives us their contact information or just calls, stops by, or emails, we'll give whatever information we have available as it becomes available.
When are we going to get? I'd like to get these questions and answers done instead of prolonging it. We've got other things to do, and there's a lot of things that would probably solve some of the problems. And I just wish that, you know, I've called several times, and they're not done. And I mean, I don't know what's taking so long. I really don't.
I would agree with you, and given that this is former Alderman Shore that's requesting that, as soon as you can get it, I know that we've also placed about 500 other issues on your plate, but this is a very, very important issue. It's been an issue that has been in the community. It's been very controversial over the years. There are people that are affected by the blasting and dust, et cetera. So as soon as you can get the information to them, so much the better. And just on the, see Mr. Lewandowski out there, he's raised some issues regarding the trucks and the dust and making sure that those trucks that are coming out of the quarry are not spreading that dust. They're supposed to go through the washers. They're supposed to have the covers over them. I have talked to the county supervisor on many occasions. I've talked to quarries about getting the sweepers out there. I see that they're out there, but nonetheless, that's the law. I've asked for law enforcement patrols to be there. I think even the state patrols have been out there. It's and county sheriffs. It is not permissible under law for these trucks not to come out of that quarry without going through the washes and without having the covers on. It's that simple. And just so let's do what we can. And Mr. Deedle, I would hope that you would contact Chief Oliva, I have, regarding this issue, and get the proper patrols out there. This is it's not good for anyone. All right, on the landscaping plan, there's a resolution that you'd have in front of you. Mr. Deal, what's your recommendations on the landscaping plan?
We are recommending approval with the addition of three more trees to the types of trees that we'll use. The total number of trees will still stay the same, but instead of having the limited five or six, now there'll be eight or nine trees. They'll randomly place those trees. We're adding aspen, hackberry, and juniper.
Okay, and what is, do you have a recommended motion? I have nothing in front of me.
Yes. Motion to approve a resolution approving a landscape plan for Plan Development District Number 23, Payne and Dolan Company, for the enlargement and enhancement of the existing berm. That's it.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion on this on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Ma'am, I do see your hand, but we operate under parliamentary procedure and Robert's rules, and I would have to suspend the regular order of business, which I did previously. Is there? I have nothing further on the on that. Is there another motion, Mr. Deedle, that needs to be made or a decision?
This item, no.
Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion?
Sorry.
Oh, okay.
I apologize.
I'm sorry.
I'm a Lions fan.
I thought you would appreciate the motion. But,
just really
on the Franklin Trails Committee? Sorry.
I apologize. Just I'll make this
quick. It's my fault.
I'll make this very quick. The Safe Routes to School plan for Pleasant View Elementary School went in front of the council on Tuesday. The council accepted it, but then is asked to have this sent back to the Planning Commission for a recommendation, either approving it as a standalone document, approving it as a part of the comprehensive master, or excuse me, with a recommendation. And it's the recommendation of the Trails Committee that we approve this for, send it back to the council for approval as a standalone document. So,
and that it be incorporated in the 2025 comprehensive master plan for the city. Did you say that?
Did, but the committee thinks we should do that at a later date.
Okay.
Approve this as a standalone document first and then incorporate it, because we'll be having more of these if we do other schools, and then as they come along, we will combine those and then have them all incorporated.
I highly recommend it, and I support that. My one question, however, is given that the 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan, I believe, may have been passed as an ordinance, do we need to hold a public hearing on this?
If we want to amend the Comprehensive Master Plan, yes, we can have that.
Well, and I think we should, and I think it should get in that plan and probably stay in that plan so that it is, that we are, in fact, whether this body or the next body or the next Common Council is going to follow through on it, because I see it as like a 30-year project, if not more.
Right.
So I think we need to do whatever is necessary. I would greatly support with the work of the Trails Committee and the again, I want to thank everyone that was participated in making that a reality. So let's get it in the plan. Let's do it right. And then, I don't know.
Well, the concern of the committee was that if we did that, we'd have to come back for every single plan we put together. So I think their thought was to put this forward as a standalone document to be incorporated later. I think at some point it will be incorporated. But I don't know if they wanted to do it.
But can we schedule that for the next meeting, Mr. Deal? Public hearing, is that possible?
There is a time limit. We have to have a notice in the paper for 30 days before the public hearing. So actually, and then the Planning Commission would make a recommendation, and the public hearing is actually at the council meeting.
And I did speak with the city attorney, and he said that he would work. He said he knew he was going to be here tonight, but he said he would prepare like a project. If we go that direction, it would be prepared as a project resolution, I think is how he phrased it to me.
Correct. It'd be a resolution.
Okay. We do this. We make a motion that the Plan Commission recommends that a public hearing be put in place for the purpose of amending the 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan for the City of Franklin so as to be a means to incorporate the
The
safe routes to school plan as proposed by the Franklin Trails Committee. Is there a motion to effect?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
The move and second. Any further discussion? Seeing Mr. Haley.
Clarification of the comprehensive outdoor recreation plan that we're talking about amending, or the city's comprehensive
master plan, because the park plan is already also
standard. Just wanted to clear.
Okay. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, 6 ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Is there a motion to adjourn?
We already have that.
Is there a second?
We already have that.
All right. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. We are adjourned.